down to the last of the two speeches of Eov. I mean, aside from the very, very end when Eov gets up. But Eov's second to last speech is Avon Vayan Eov Vayomar. Eov got up and he said, this is his response to Eliphaz. Gamayom Meri Sichi. So he says like this, this, even today, my speech is bitter. My talk, everything I'm going to say is bitter. Yodi Kavda Alan Chasi. My hand is heavier than my groaning. I'm a little bit too much over here. Now, we don't know exactly what Meri means. Meri is based on the word Ben Sora Umora over here. It's sort of like, you know, you're admitting that I'm a rebel, so to speak. That's what you guys are telling me. So I guess I'm going to continue with this rebellious talk. Mi Tain, who would give, in other words, like, I wish, Yadati, that I would know the Emsayehu. And I would find where God is. So I would go to the place where he lives. I would give my trial in front of him. Right? And I guess you could say, I would fill my mouth with proofs against God and toward my direction. Edom milim ya'aneni. You got the right one?
No,
I said wrong. That's funny. Eda milim, right? I wish I knew the words, ya'aneni, that I would use to answer me. And then I would understand what he told me. I can't even understand it. It's possible that I'm going to ask him the questions and I'm never going to get it. Habarav koach yariv madi. Is like great strength? Is he trying to show his power by fighting against me? Lo, ahu yasim bi. No, I just need the attention. He just needs to put his attention on me. Shom yasher neichach. There, I'll straight reason with him. Afaltal enetzach mishofti. Oh, and he's saved from my judges forever. So if I go forward, if that's the way I go, I don't see him. Even if I go back, right? So it's sort of like something beyond it. So he was saying, like, listen, I'd love to ask this as a question, but I realize that this is like going up to a famous scientist and saying, explain to me antimatter. You know, like, tell me how gravity of the earth works. If you're only going to get an answer from somebody who's that up high, I'm never going to understand. You don't go to one of the greatest mathematicians in the world and ask them to explain how calculus works. Calculus works. Why it works and how it works and what the meanings behind it are, that's a different story. But of course they're going to work over here. And this is something that's gnawing at him. Why he just, obviously, as we're saying, everything like it, but we have to treat it like we would any other kasha in the Gemara or any svarim that goes into it. This is an integral part of Torah learning, meaning you should be asking kashas and how to be able to go through to a sharp kasha that goes in, like what we say and we encourage questions on Seder night and things like that. This is an opportunity to be able to get it. So Eve's questions are supposed to be this comprehension. I wish I knew what I could say. I wish I knew what I could do over here. This clearly is not showing, like Hashem showing his power over me. There's no point to that. I know he's great. That's not the point over here. I just like something, some type of attention. What are you going to say?
This is a lot different of a tone than just...
Not sharper. He's done. He's done with the arguments. He's really done. We'll see. Bildad says like a four-line thing, and then he goes like, okay, this is my final argument. This is the last thing I'm going to say. So he said, Hein kedem aloch ve'inin v'achor v'lo avin lo. I've never understood. Go back and forward. Small ba'asoysoy, on the left, whatever he does, lo achaz, I just don't get it. Yatoif yamin v'lo areh. So the right side, he wraps it in secrecy. I just don't see it. Clearly, you could say it's like left is midas adin and right is midas chesed, right? When things happen in midas adin, I don't get why they're happening. When it comes into chesed, I don't even see it. I don't see all the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing. Maybe I'm missing something here. Ki yada derechim adi. He knows, I guess you could say, he knows my way, right? And the derech that he's chosen for me over here. But chanani kazo avitzei. He has tested me, and I've come out like gold. Ba'ashuro ochez aragloi. When my foot closely followed his step, darko shamarti v'lo ot. I've kept his way, I've not strayed away from mitzvos vasov, lo amish. In other words, the commandments of his lips, I did not deviate. Now, I don't know what this refers to. If Eov is a Jew, right, then that obviously means mitzvos. If he's a non-Jew, what does it mean, the commandments I state, you know, I did not deviate from? Sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach? Not really commanded to do that. It's kind of weird to be able
Maybe
to say
he was
that.
Just saying he's a decent person.
Yeah, I mean, the Derech Hashem, so to speak.
Yeah, you don't have to follow anything really.
You know, I get that if it's just the first pasuk of Darko Shamarti. Mitzvah svasav lo amish. I didn't lose out on any of the mitzvos of his lips. I'm a little weirded out by that, but whatever it is. Mechuki sofanti imreifiv. I have hid, so to speak. I treasured the words of his mouth. V'ubechod miyishivenu. He is the one who is going to answer him back. Benafsho Ibsa, his soul I guess whatever he desires, bayoas, that's what was absolutely done. Now, be'echod means he's with one, right? Now, it should be v'hu echod, he is one. V'hu be'echod seems to be, so to speak, as if there is in with one itself. So the question is, because in judgment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is all as one. He is the witness, he's the prosecutor, he's the judge, he's the defendant. Everything goes together, and I guess that's the idea behind it. But it seems like this is more of a Kabbalistic note over here, that he's saying, B'hu be'echad, right? That there's something a little bit more to this. So the Ibn Ezra actually says that. He says, this is pure Kabbalah, and it's not for us to be able to know what that means. But seemingly, it should have said the word B'hu echad. That's certainly how we're going to take it over here.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. He translates it, he is the one, absolute one. Mm-hmm. It says, he is unique.
Unique. No difference in that line, but the be'echad is still weird. It just is weird. There's no reason. Whatever he wants, he does. Kiyashlam chuki, when he completes the parts that are from evil, okay, no rabu simo, right? He has numerous people that he deals with. Okay, mi panavei b'hel. And therefore, I just get confused as bonin v'afchan imenu. I think about it, and then I become terrified. That's not the way that we should think of God. We shouldn't think of God as something that terrifies me, something that scares me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be something special, something holy, that we always aspire to look up to. And especially if I'm trying to act in his ways, why would I want to act like a psycho? If I'm considering that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is acting in a psychotic way, how in the world could I allow this to be? It just doesn't make any sense. Val Herach Libi. It shouldn't be, so to speak, as if I shouldn't allow, Hashem shouldn't allow my heart to be softened, Vashadi Avilani, and allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to confuse me this way. Kilo nitzmatu mine choshech. I was not made lifeless in this darkness. Panai, kisa ifo. In front of me, the darkness covers everything. There's darkness in front. I just don't get it. There's no reason for this. There's no point to all this in this line over here. Now, there's a lot over here that he goes into. Eve's rationale is like this. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu left his suffering for Olam Haba itself, then obviously I wouldn't have any questions because everything would go well in this world and it shouldn't be a problem whatsoever. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly wants me to question everything, and the reason why he wants me to question everything is because seemingly you gave me a mind. I'm not a mindless animal. I'm not an android or a robot that just gets to do whatever I want. Seemingly, you have allowed me to be able to think about everything. So why are you covering me in darkness? Why are you not allowing me to understand or think about what I'm doing over here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have placed, it's just an amazing line, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted and had Eov accepted his Yisurin, it could be he would have been a fourth Av. He would have been a new Av of possibly another people. That's the crazy part beyond Eov. It's possible that such a thing would have happened. Maybe instead of saying Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, he would have added on Elokei Eov. It's possible if he would have accepted it, if he would have gotten past this test itself. And he did remember. He did the first time, Hashem Asan Hashem Lakach, Yishem Hashem Mavarach. But only when it hit him, he wasn't able to be that way. He wasn't able to go any further.
How many levels was it?
Which one? What do you mean?
Meaning Hashem kept doing more stuff, right?
We only know two. Yeah. You're trying to think like the 10 Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu?
Yeah, I was just wondering if it
was like... I mean, we know, you know, you could say like each one, maybe there were five, right? Because he lost his animals, he lost his land, he lost
right.
his servants,
just,
he lost his...
It kept being another thing,
possibly.
And each thing would be its own.
Yeah. I can't imagine it to be 10, though. Possibly. Maybe there's a way of doing such a thing. By the way, but that's how great Eov was, and it's just a real crazy line over here. And that's the line over here. Look, the word the Medrash uses over here is like this. You notice the word basa'ara, right? Is that the wording over here? Where was it?
Wait, is that a Jewish thing to say?
Which one?
Hashem
Lecha. Oh, we had said it before. Yeah, Hashem giveth, Hashem taketh.
Yeah,
comes from Eov.
Yeah, I understand.
Ba'ashuro.
Is that like?
Yeah, I mean, we don't say it anymore because
we don't really say it.
Yeah,
because Christians.
Hashem gives, Hashem takes. You know, I think it's used by non from funerals as well.
Well, yeah.
The from funerals
it's
don't do it because it was used. Yeah, because that's what it's referring to. No, I'm sorry. This is referring to what happened up above. In Perek Tes, he had used the word basa'ara, right? And we said that it was referring to the word hair, and it refers to a storm, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him basa'ara, that he was so upset, that he whatever it is. The idea is that if a person is stricken with a really bad illness, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is you know, sees that he's overcome with pain, fear, anxiety, and whatever, and suddenly there's a moment where he's at peace with himself and he loses all fear, all anxiety. That is a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. That is the Shekhinah going upon him right there. That's similar to a dark thunderstorm, and all of a sudden there's a clear sky right afterward. There's a huge thunderstorm right afterward. No matter how great the Sa'ara, as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears, right, the Holy Sa'ara V'tzuka, whenever it happens, Ein Lanu Melech Ela Alta, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu all of a sudden appears and it's right there. That's the idea behind it. Eel's the disease was so ravaging that it took over his entire body. But nonetheless,
I'm just saying,
he still retained some of his hair. The hair that he retained on his body, even though the damages were so terrible and everything like that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you still have something. Note that your sickness did not destroy all of you. Use that to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still giving you a little bit more. And so too, like the storm of the suffering did not destroy everything. Throughout everything, his wife was still alive. If you say that his wife died, which we didn't see in the Pesukim, but even if you say that, you have your mind. You have your ability to think. Eov, you didn't lose everything. You could have. So this idea of Bayan Eov Mina Sa'ara, which is referred to over here, Eov answered him from Mina Sa'ara. He said, look at your hair and look at what the storm does. That's the concept of what he was able to do. What were you going to say, David?
Nothing. It's just an opportune time to learn this. That's all I want to say.
Okay, good. Even more so. But no matter what happens, the Eov, the Sa'ara versus Se'ara, I guess you can say, both Sin and Samach. It's an amazing thing to be able to say. Now, he goes on. Eov gives his final point to the people, and it's so good that finally Eliphaz has nothing else to say. Zophar has been done for a little bit. Bildad says, okay, I concede that point. I do concede that point. Remember, they keep telling him that there's a simple judgment of the world, that everything seems to be that good people are rewarded in the next world, bad people are rewarded in this world, that if you see somebody with good, it must mean he's evil. If you see somebody with bad, it must mean he's good, in such a way, and whatever it is. And if you see a person who, like Eov, right, it's clearly, it's showing that everything was a fake up until now, you got rewarded, and now you're going to die, and everything's like that. So listen to what he says over here. Madua mishakai lo nitzbinu itim. I don't understand why certain time periods weren't hidden by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, viod of, and those that know him, lo chazu yamav. They shouldn't see any of their days. I just don't get it. Why in the world do you allow certain people to live for such a long time, and people that shouldn't be in the world all of a sudden is going to be there? So here's the idea. Why doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu set aside times for the Rishonim to be punished? Why isn't it that you have certain times you're going to be punished and that's that? Why do we allow them to get away with them to all these punishments itself? And number two, what about the Yodav? Why in the world aren't there times where they get good things in the world? So in other words, it's Maduwa Mashadai Loni Spidui Team. Why aren't the bad times happening to the Rishayim? The Yodav and the people that know him, Lochaz Yomav, they don't see happiness in their lives. Now, this is the same argument that he's been giving over and over again.
Does he answer his question?
This is going to be part of his answer, where he's going to realize that something is a little bit beyond him.
Because Rashi seems to be answering the question as it comes.
What do you mean? What does Rashi say?
Well, it's a translated Rashi, but he says, Yov asked two questions. Why are people's lifespans not hidden from Hashem? If he did not, so the answer seems to be, if he did not know when each person would die, he may postpone someone's punishment until he has died. So therefore,
it must mean
he had to know this person's going to die up until this time.
Okay.
We can do tshuva.
Yeah.
We're not going to push off his death.
So he's saying that it's an actual question and answer. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? He knows the time to be able to punish
it's
him.
It's like
good.
A rhetorical question.
Yeah.
And then he asks the second one, why are those who are close to God not able to understand the way in which he conducts his days?
Mm-hmm. And the answer?
He doesn't answer.
Oh, that he doesn't answer.
So maybe the first one was like, is still part of the question?
I would assume they both still are. But let's see what he says. Gvulus yasigu. They overcome other people's borders, right? They build their stuff onto borders. I'm going to tell you something that happened in my old house, that old house over there. My neighbor put up a fence. He told me he was putting up a fence. We agreed upon a border. He ended up putting it up. I think it's a little bit too much on my side.
What are you
I'm not positive. I don't know if there is anything to do. I'm kind of hoping, whatever.
Well, legally,
Gvulus yasigu. In theory, I could get it down. But Gvulus yasigu, Eder guzlu, they stole the guzlu, the flock that they had, by year, and they shepherded them themselves. That's what the Rishayim are doing. Chamori Somnin Hagu, they lead away the donkey of orphans. Yachbalu Shor Almana, they take the ox of a widow as a pawn for themselves. Yatu Avyonim Yidarach, they cause the poor people to turn away from the road. Yachad Hubu Aniye Aretz, they together, right, they gather together the poor of the land and destroy them. Hein Proim Bamidbor, they're like wild animals of the desert. Yatsu, they go out, the Falam Meshachoy Latarach, in their desert, they go and work for the food that they need. Arava lo lechem lana arim. And then what they do is the wilderness, right, to him, is food for their own children. They get it for that. Basoda, right, in the field, belilo yiktsoru. I guess they harvest things that are not there, belilo, things that are not theirs. That's an interesting word over here, belilo. It says, vecherem rasha yilakeshu. And they try to grab in the harvests of the, I guess, the Rishayim themselves, right? They try to grab things for themselves, and they claim, like, oh, those people are evil. I could take it away from them. Arum yalinu b'lumivli levush. They sleep the night naked without any garments. And this is a line that either they're mamish like animals, or they're doing a riot and things like that. The inksus bakara. They don't even need clothes in the cold. Mizerem harim yurtavu. From the streams of the mountains, they seem to go ahead and take the you know the streams coming down from the mountains. That's how they wet themselves. And we believe machse chibkut sur. And for lack of a place to live, they go inside the rock, inside the cave itself. So these poor people are the referring to over here, the people that have no clothes, people that are living in caves, people that have nowhere else to go, right? They go into the streams. These are the people that the Rishayim take advantage of. Yigzalu mishod yasom. They steal from the booty that the orphan has. V'al'ani yachbolu. And they pledge the poor. They take pledges from the poor, knowing that the poor are not going to be able to come through and get whatever they need over here. Arum hilku b'libli levush. People that are naked, that don't have any clothing, or even nasu oimer, and the hungry people that carry sheaves for other people that aren't able to take anything for themselves. Ben shurosam yatziru. Among the rows, they produce oil. Yikavim dorku v'yitzmo. They make, I guess, wine presses, right? And they're still thirsty from what they're doing over here. This is now referring to a person like an agricultural worker, right, who has to work before all the other people and gets absolutely nothing from his labor. We have a halacha. The halacha is that a person works for you picking, let's say, grapes out of the field or whatever it is, he's allowed to eat as he works. But if we read any books about what it was like back in the day when you would hire these guys to pick peaches or pick grapes and whatever, the people that would go to California and they would be starving or whatever it is, like the Grapes of Wrath, right? That type of book, a John Steinbeck book, right? When you go through, you see they were not allowed to take anything at all. You take anything, they could kill you. They would just shoot you dead and that would be it for you. What?
That's wild.
It was just a different world back then, right? And there were people that were very evil, so the Rishayim took advantage of that. Again, Meir misim yunaku. From the city, you hear everybody groaning. Menefesh kalolim tishavea, and the souls of those who are, you know, corpses cry out loud. Alo alo yasim tefila. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't seem to care about this. Alo yasim tifla. He doesn't like pay attention or care about what's going on over here. Hema hayu b'morde or. These are the people that rebelled against the light. They didn't want to go outside during the light. There were burglars and criminals who wanted to be there at night. They didn't recognize the ways of Hashem. They didn't want to go in the paths of the normal paths where everybody would go over here. They just don't care. They're the types of people who literally did not have to go out in the morning. Or Yakum Rotzeach. In the evening, right, the murderer would go out. Yikdal ani va'evyon. They would kill a poor person, a destitute person. V'laila yikiganov. And during the night, they would go out and be like ganavim. Now you should know, by the way, this pasuk is one of the rayas in Psachim. Psachim starts off and says, "Oh yeah, very good." Oh, it says it right there. Or la'arba aser. Or la'arba aser. Bodkin as a chametz or an air. Right, by the night of the 14th, we check for chametz.
Or at night.
So right. So the Gemara says, "My or." So this is machlokas. Rav Huna, Rav Yuda. Either it's nagi or laila. Right. One of the pasukim they try to bring to prove that or is day is this pasuk. La'or yakum rotzeach. By the light of day, the murderer gets up. Yikdal ani v'avion. Right? He kills people. Uvalayla yikaganav. And at night, he's like a ganav.
So
but the truth is,
two separate times,
but right? Over here, we're translating it as night because the maskana of the Gemara is that or means night. It means light, but it also means night. So the line is, la'or, it's sort of like a double entendre. At night, the murderer gets up and kills somebody. And at night, he's like a god of itself. However, the Gemara says there's a drush from this pasuk, which is a very interesting drush. That line is like this. If you know that somebody is coming into your house, breaking into your house in order to take your money, so you're allowed, normally, to kill him. You're allowed to kill him. Why? Because you know that if he's breaking into your house and you stand up against him in order to save your stuff, he's going to kill you, right, to do something. So because you know he's going to kill you, therefore he's a rodef, a rotseach, and therefore you're allowed to kill him first. However, if it's your father or a loved one that you know would never kill you, he might steal your stuff, but he would not kill you, then you are not responsible, you are not chayiv to kill him back. But right, you get it? I shouldn't say you shouldn't. No, you might actually be chayav for it. It depends on who it is. But your father, you can't do it because there's rachamim of aval aven. There's a rachamim of a friend on somebody else's friend. So therefore, if you see the guy, you're not allowed to kill him. So here's the pasuk. Ready? Le'or yakum rotzeach. If it's clear as day that he's getting up to kill you, then yikdal ani ba'avion. The poor man is allowed to kill him back. V'layla, but if it's unclear, and you can assume that he's just a ganav and you don't do anything whatsoever. Uh-huh. That's only by a father. If it's clear that he's going to kill you, you can kill your father. If it's unclear, then what? He's like a ganav. That's how Tosus understands it. Rashi understands it as, if it's a person that you know is going to kill you, like a random person, kill him first. If it's a person you're not sure if he's going to kill you, like your father, then he's just a ganav. You're not allowed to kill him. That's the drush that comes from this pasuk over here.
What do you got? Hey, Mom. Rashi says, who's it talking about? It's talking about the Rishayim and the Dora Mabel. What was the thing? They were Morid in the Or, and that I think refers to Hashem in that context.
Yeah.
Because they say, Bishvil Amatar Shaya Ola Mina Aretz, condensation.
Well, yeah, 100%. Yeah, because of the rain that came down, right.
It would go back up, so they're like, we don't need a God because it's raining.
It is true. It's a machlokas how it works exactly, but the Kli Yakar says the reason why there was no rainbow before the Mabel. Because you wonder, like, the rainbow was a new thing after Noah? Like, isn't this a natural phenomenon that you'd have rainbows in the sky? He says the most unbelievable thing. He says, at first, the way that the world ran was that there were these Adim, there were these, like, springs that came from the ground, and everything remained watered from them. There was no need for rain. There was no need for rain, so it didn't rain. But because there was so much condensation, I guess their sins caused it to go up.
And it says matar, it doesn't say rain.
Yeah.
It says matar.
So he said the sins caused the rain to, that eventually all this, the water on earth from the Adim evaporated quicker than it could actually help the fields. They went up and became these clouds in the sky. And eventually there became so many clouds in the sky they blocked out the sun. And that's when the Mabel started. So he tries to say it in, like, obviously a spiritual way, but a physical way of how the Mabel started. So the very first rainbow where there was water in the sky that rained down on them was by the Mabel. There was no rainfall before that point. Now, there are some midrashim that argues on that Kli Yakar. It does seem that there was rain by the times of Adam Rishon, but regardless, we don't see it in the Pesukim. We see from the Pesukim, Eid Yalamina Aretz, Lahashkos Zagan.
Wait.
Right? That's the idea
behind it. Who says that it means that it never rained? You're saying
the Kli Yakar.
The Kli Yakar specifically says
that
it never rained.
And it kept going to clouds and clouds and clouds and clouds, and finally it poured down with the Mabel. It took 1,600 years. Yeah.
Is this all Eo speaking?
Yeah, this is all Eo speaking.
What
Everything
is he talking
Eo.
About? What's he trying to...
His line is... No, his line is that these Rishayim are living normal lives. They're taking advantage and doing whatever they want, and no one is holding them in check. To me, that makes no sense, and no God would ever let that happen. Since God is letting it happen, it shows he has no power. That's all he's trying to say. So yes, he is rambling about how the poor people are being run by the rich and trodden down and whatever it is. But at the end, he's showing them.
He was one of those people.
Yeah, but he didn't do this, or in his mind he didn't. They claimed that he did. His friends claimed he didn't. But he's telling them, I see this in my very eyes. You guys are looking at this beseder dicka world, this world where everything works out well. I'm telling you it doesn't work out well. And look, this is what I'm seeing. And Bildad is going to admit to it. So let's see what happens. Tesvav, the ain noev shomra nashef. The eye of the adulterer, he waits for evening. Lamor, he says, Lo tushareini ayin, no eye ever sees me. God doesn't see me. This says Rapanim Yasim. He puts his face, he puts a mask upon his face. Even at night, he's still scared that somebody might see him. He puts a mask on his face even then. Chosar b'choshech batim, he digs in the darkness during the, into the houses themselves. Yomam chitmu lamo, they were sealed for him during the day. He couldn't get in then. Lo yadu or, they wanted to know no daylight. They didn't want to be involved with any light at all. Ki yachtav boker lamay, because together, I guess you could say, morning to them, to all these people together, the morning is Tzalmavis, the shadow of death. To them, if they ever get caught, yeah, they're in trouble. Ki yakar balhois Tzalmavis. They recognize the terror of the shadow of death, because all these people, they realize how scary it is to be mamish outside over here. Kalhu al pnei mayim. It is very, he is light on the face of the water, right? So, when their lot is cursed in the land. I don't know exactly what that means over here. What does that refer to over here? Once these bandits are discovered, they try to make a quick getaway. They try running as fast as they can, and they go through. That's the idea behind it. And they're not even worried about it. They dry or hot or the melting snow or whatever is going around. They go ahead and they sin, they steal. Because what do they care? They keep going, and whatever they're going to do, Yishkacheyu Rechem, he forgets the womb. Misakai Rima, he betrays the sweetest one. Odli Zacher, he doesn't remember anything ever again. Vaitishavarka Eitz Avlo, and he allows all the sins to be broken completely, like a piece of wood. Roa Akaralos Eleid, he is somebody who, I guess you could say, he harms the barren one and doesn't allow her to give birth. Almana Lo Yetiv, he doesn't do any good to the Almana. Moshach Abira Mekochu, he pulls all the strong ones in his strength. Yakum Vlo Yami Bechayev, he gets up, right? And unfortunately, when others don't believe he could possibly live, that's what ends up happening over here. In his, their haste, these people, they forget about everybody else. They'll even leave their money around. They don't care. They just get up and they run. Why? Because they know that the next city they go to, they'll steal again. They leave their wives. They leave their children. Why? They'll say, we'll buy another wife. We'll buy another bunch of children. To them, nothing is important. They don't care about anything whatsoever. Yitin lo levetach, they give him, his life has security. Yishain, he relies on it. Their eyes are always on their ways. What's the next trick that I can do? Anybody ever read Huckleberry Finn? Or Huck Finn? Remember the book? Remember those two tricksters that they took on top of their took on their raft, right? Huck Finn and his slave. I don't want to say slave, but the other guy. I guess it could be racist, no matter how you say it. It was a racist book.
Yeah.
Racist book. Yeah, whatever. Like he took the two swindlers on, and the swindlers went from town to town, convincing everybody that they were this and that and the other, that they were this orphan's father or uncle or something, and that they deserve an inheritance and whatever it is. These guys, their job was to swindle. They went from town to town, tricking people into thinking that they were chashuv, and they stole from this people and that person, and they took advantage of everything they possibly could. That's what these people are. They don't care about anybody else. There's nothing that they care about, because they'll just go on to the next line right over there. I'm sorry?
Like a Ponzi scheme.
Worse, much worse, because these guys have no, there's not even any savings over here, right? They just make the money, run out of town as soon as they can. Romu ma'at ve'inenu. They trick a little bit, right? And then all of a sudden, they're gone. Right? They're gone. They took their money and they're out of here. V'humchu kakol yikaptsun. They're all of a sudden going to be destroyed in a second. Ukuroshi bolzi malu. They're going to be, you'd expect them that all of a sudden they'd be snapped off like the stalk of grain. Being lo efo. If this isn't really so, miyachsivani, who's going to deny this? V'yosun la'al milasi. Right? And make my word into absolutely nothing. So tell me, guys, do you not see this yourself? Do you not see these shysters or these tricksters working their ways? In other words, your line before was, well, clearly, if they're not dying horribly, it must mean that they are big tzaddikim. So Eo's like, no. I know, and you know, that there are definitely people out there that do not deserve the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving them, and they do it anyway. We both know that this is 100% true. Right? So he's saying to them, you've never seen it with yourselves? Can you guys deny this? You've never seen a shyster go into a city, take a lot of money, and then all of a sudden leave? These fake mikubalim that are convincing people that they know everything about the future, all you have to do is listen to me and then everything's going to be okay? You don't think that there's somebody like that out there, right, who's doing that? Of course there are. Of course there are. There's a shayim out there, and you've seen it with your own eyes. Why are these people given a pass? Why does the Kodesh Baruch Hu not get involved in their lives? That's what he says. And it's a good call. It's a really good call. Everything, what are you going to do with these people? Right. But that's his point. Eo's like, not true. It's not true. Not everything comes out eventually. Not everything happens over here.
Mouth. Doesn't he say that everything went out?
But that's his point. Eo's friends were saying just that, and they were saying, yeah, eventually they're going to get paid back. Said Eo, I'm telling you, and you know this, not every time. It's not. So why is that so? If you're telling me that it should be, why isn't it so? So there's an interesting little call. He said that in Brazil, there was a relatively few rich people which exploited masses of poor people. So in 1947, and then again in 1956, the Rav seriously considered accepting a call to go to a group of activists in Sao Paulo, Brazil, to form a kahila in the city, and he spent several weeks there trying to go there. Can you imagine if Schwab went down to Brazil? I don't think there have ever been any gedolim, anywhere close to gedolim, that went to South America. Can you imagine if Rav Schwab went down to Brazil and started the yeshiva there and made it into a serious place?
Honestly, it
could have changed everything. Well, it changes everywhere. It changed South Africa when Rav Sternbach went down there, right? It changes everything. You have a gadol that's in a place. It literally can change the face of the entire community. Gateshead? What happened at Gateshead? But you can find this everywhere. So I just, either way, regardless, while there, I was invited, as Rav Schwab says, to visit the factory of a fine, extremely rich gentleman. When I came to the factory, I saw the workers, children between the ages of 7 and 12. Average age of the workers was 10 years old. Besides their minuscule wages, these little children were humiliated by a daily body search and a shower to prevent thefts. Crazy, right? When I asked the owner how in good conscience he could take advantage of these little children this way, his response was, their mothers want them to work, otherwise they would get into mischief. So why don't they go to school? Rav Schwab said. He answered, these people have no schools. And besides, if they were to become educated, they would become communists or other troublemakers. We're better off leaving them the way they are. It's an amazing line. So this was a perfect example of the Dor HaMabul. This was the Dor HaMabul. It's a description that could fit any type of exploitation. The rich exploited the poor. The B'nai Elohim took them.
Justified it.
You don't want them to grow. If they do this, you know they're going to be evil. They're going to be evil people. They're going to fight against the establishment. It's going to be much worse. The biggest fear of the rich in this type of society is the removal of their cover of respectability and the recognition as exploiters. He's not saying everybody in Brazil was like this. He was saying that this person was like this. And because of that, right, I'm sure because of other reasons as well, but that's something that he experienced in Brazil. I'm sure that was
so
horrible.
He went twice?
I'm sorry?
He went twice?
Apparently, 47 and 56. 47 and 56.
Did
I never knew that
any
before.
Did he changes there?
No, because he wasn't there for long enough. He was only there for like trips, you know, to visit
there,
whatever it is.
Checked it out.
I can't even imagine. Can you imagine a German? I don't mean like, because lots of Germans ended up moving to Argentina and Chile and whatever it is right after the war itself. But a German Jew with all of his punctiliousness and everything that he has, right, going down to Brazil and making a yeshiva, like a yeshiva I think it would change. Honestly, it could have changed everything. It didn't. It didn't happen. But it's sort of like what happened to Rav Avi Yosef in Egypt. What would have happened if Rav Avi Yosef stayed in Egypt instead of leaving? If he wouldn't have been kicked out by the community there. Never know. Yeah, honestly, you have no idea what could have happened in Egypt. What could have been over there? Let's look at Aleph. Perek Chaf Hei Pasuk Aleph. Vayan Bildad Ashuch HaVayomer. So Bildad Ashuch, he says, by far the smallest speech out there, right? And he says the following. He says, Hamshel Vafachad Imo. There is rulership and terror with what God does. He rules and he scares the living daylights out of people. There's such scary things that God does. However, Oseh Shalom Ben Ramav. My assumption is that everything works out in the end in the heavens. That eventually there will be shalom. You're right, he says to Eve. You know, it's taken me a long time. I thought everything was in an orderly pattern. I thought this is it. Yeah, this is it. I thought everything was an orderly pattern and everything was going to be whatever it is. And the fact that you're being punished means that you sinned. That's how I lived my entire life. My whole life has been lived that way. But you've showed me, you demonstrated that it's not true.
Do you think he's being serious?
No, he's being serious. No, it's for
him.
No. He's serious. He's like, you're right. You're absolutely right. There are cruel people who are ruling this world. There are criminals who are ruling this world. There are people who are evil, who are exploiting other people, and we see it throughout the world and all the time. And the world view that I always ascribe myself to is not supported by facts of world history. It's not true over there. So now he says, you know what? It does look like there's a contradiction. There's Hamshil, the rulership that he allows in the world, that he is absolutely in charge. And nonetheless, there's Fachad. There's a fear, an absolute fear, right, that he allows into the world itself. There's something over here. There's an interconnection between all the different components and all the different parts over here, right? But nonetheless, there's like, sometimes I see God as if he's absolutely in charge, and sometimes there's Hurricane Irma. What was the one before? I just forgot what it was called.
Harvey.
Hurricane Harvey and Hurricane Irma. We're like, you know what? I don't know. I don't know what to do with myself. Where I look at it and I'm just like, what am I supposed to do? It's not that I'm denying, it's that sometimes there's the Hamshil part, sometimes there's the fachad part. And I don't get it. You're right. You're right. There is chaos in this world, and it doesn't make any sense according to what it's supposed to be. But it must be that there's no conflict in Shemayim, he says to Eve. It's got to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it shalom in Shemayim. But you notice already, he has given in to Eve. He said to Eve, you know what? You're right. It doesn't make any sense why God is punishing you down here in this world. But I'm assuming there's a good reason for it in Shemayim. But that's it. He gave in to Eve. That's exactly what Eve wanted to hear. He wants the actual answer. Eve's just like, yeah, that's what I've been saying the whole time. But I want to know why it's happening down here. Why are you allowing it to happen down here? This doesn't make any sense over here. It's Ki'ilu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not listening to us. There's got to be a reason why. Maybe it's something better for up there. That's Eddie behind it. But don't worry, Eve's going to be sarcastic in the very next parak. He says, Hayesh mispar l'gdudav. Is there a limitation to the battle groups that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has? Valmi lo yakum oreyu. Upon whom does his light not go toward? Is there anybody who is absolutely, you know, not involved with all these different types of things? The Kodesh Baruch Hu has all these departments, all these different parts of the stars themselves. Don't you think that a Kodesh Baruch Hu at least shines his light on you? Don't you think there's any hope? Is there anything out there? There were people that were known as Zoroastrians. Zoroastrians believed there were basically two gods. Yeshaya lived at the same time as these people. He called himself Zarathustra, or whatever it is, right? But they started the Parsi religion, where everything was made up of. There's the evil, and there's the good. There was a force of good that was from your stomach up, and the force of bad, to which Yeshaya said, that makes absolutely no sense. Why would one thing allow one thing to the other? I think it is Rabbi Yeshua. I think Rabbi Yeshua said the line, why would, Hormiz allow food through his body to a Hormiz, right, in order to go to the bathroom or whatever it is? Why would one be brought to the other?
Rooted in this?
It's not what? Hinduism. It's
Zoroastrianism.
It is a religion. The Zoroastrians believe that there's too much like gods in the world. All these different, like, you worship this, worship that, whatever it is. They believe there's just two, the God of good and the God of evil. And they're always fighting each other. Like the Satan, right, has actual power and is equal to, if not, you know, just as powerful as the ultimate God that's out there in the world. Right? It seems that it's going to be like that. Obviously, we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is both. Hamshel Vafachad. He is both. He has the ability to do both. Right? And that's the concept over here, that there's so many people who have the ability to think that it's all together. In Shalom Bimromov, that's up there. Umay Yitzhak Enosh Imel. What can a mortal man justify when it comes to God, especially with what's going to be in the future? Ma'iske Elisha, somebody is born from woman. You think you're going to be Zoche to be able to understand all this. Heinad Yoreach V'lo Yahil. You could, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can diminish the moons that it doesn't have any shine at all. But Kochavim Lo Zakav Einav, even stars are not pure in his eyes. There's stars that do things that are, so to speak, wrong in his eyes. Afki Enosh Rima, and man is but worms. Uben Adam Toleya, the son of a man is a maggot. That's the most that we are. We're decaying creatures. We decay in our lifetime. We decay after our death. We're mamish destructive. Well, we are destructive. But creatures that deserve death and are involved with death, there's nothing we can do over here. We're just mortal. So in that sense, he said to Eov, I'm conceding. You are right. It doesn't make any sense. But you have to understand, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this body, which rots and goes bad and does everything well, whatever it is, you have to understand that it must be that our world is all about the next. Oseh shalom bimromov is his line. It's got to be about what's going to be in the future and how it's going to act in the future. Okay, that was Bilbud. We are done with the friends. Eliphaz is done. Bilbud is done. Tzofar is done. Eliphaz spoke three times. Bilbud spoke three times. Tzofar and Amasi only spoke twice. But we're done now. Biyani of Eve's last line over here, this is his last part. It's going to be a little bit longer than normal. It's going to speak for a couple more prakim than he normally did over here. I think it goes through about 5 prakim altogether. But then we're going to get to Elihu ben Barkael, who is a person who is apparently sitting in on these conversations, listening to what was going on. He's going to get up and he's going to say, I think you're all wrong. Every single one of you. But he's going to do it in a very, very different style. Instead of combative, going up against you, it's going to be a different way altogether. So let's see. V'yani v'yoma. Ma zarta. What did you guys help here? What did you do? Lo yoil. Right? Without lo koach. Without any power. It's like you have absolutely no power. Hayshata zraya. Lo oz. You tried to save with an arm that has no strength whatsoever. Guys, way to go. Way to go. This is pure sarcasm, and he's just like, well, guys, it's been nice talking to you. I think we had a really nice conversation over here. Mayo Atzta, whew, lots of good eitz as you give, lolo chachma, without any wisdom whatsoever. Tushia l'rov hodata, a lot of substantial knowledge over here, right? That's what you made known over here. Way to go, guys. I really appreciate all the help you've done. Esmi garat milin, who were you talking with? Who did you think you were speaking to over here? Minishmas mi yatsa mi mecha. Whose soul went out from you that you could say such things over here? I just don't understand. Where did you get these ideas? Where did you say it over here? It just doesn't make any sense to me. Harefoyim yecholelu, right? Yecholadu, I guess you say, where it says the dead is going, they're eventually going to come to life. Harefayim, do you think it's going to heal hachol yecholalu, those corpses, mitachas mayim v'shochneim, from underneath the water, and from also their neighbors over here? Do you think the weak ones, or the cave dwellers, or anything like that, are going to come up? It could be, he says, the refayim, that were known as the giants, that were living in Eretz Canaan, they were literally like monsters. Not necessarily they were giants, even though that's the way that the Torah describes them as, but they were people that lived physical lives as like animals. They would have been like Homo erectus.
Is it possible that the other types of humanoids? Are you referring to Shindads?
No, very unlikely. Very, very unlikely, because they wouldn't have had this power. Rephaim, definitely not. Those are words of the people that used to live in Eretz Canaan, right, at the times of Avram Avinu. So it wouldn't be referring to that. But the wild people, they're referring to a name of some ancient nation or whatever it is, right? Mitachas mayim v'shochneim. Arom sheol negdo. The core of the earth is naked before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you thought I had any doubts of God's power, I 100% agree. Everything is right there for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there to be able to take it. It says, it's sheol negdo. The core of the earth, the pit of the earth, the grave of the earth. To us, everything is forgotten completely. It's underneath the ground. By Hashem, everything, even underneath the ground, is 100% His. He knows everything that's going on all the way beneath the earth. Thank Sus Lavadon. There is no cover for the oblivion that He allows in the world. He sees all. I have no doubt about that. I have absolutely no question about that whatsoever. Note that Safoni stretches over the north, Alto in the middle of nothingness. We'll speak about that in a second. Toyula Eretz Al Blima. You probably have heard this line before, right? He puts the land upon nothing. He allows it to stretch over nothing. It makes no sense to me how the earth is suspended in the middle of the air. Through what? Through a force called gravity, through the gravitational pull of the sun itself. How is the sun in place?
Makes perfect sense.
Okay, then you're good. How is the sun in its own place? Well, that's from the gravitational pull of a larger object, possibly a black hole, something with more gravity than everything else that's keeping the sun in its place and our solar system in the place where it is in the universe. There is ultimate, huge things that are going on here that I don't get. And especially if you thought that the world was flat back then, I doubt anybody ever thought that. It's very difficult. But either way, regardless, for the people that thought that it was flat, what's the world hanging on to? What's underneath the earth? Is it like a little pill? God knows everything underneath the earth itself. And it is amazing that we, as people, know so little about the core of the earth and what's going on down there.
We know less about the core than we do about space. Right?
They claim the water. We know less about water than we knew about space. I don't even know if that's true. I'm not so sure exactly what that means.
Well, we've definitely explored, about the core, 'cause we
I think
can't.
What they said, they explored less of the ocean. It's less than like 1% or 0.5% of the ocean, the whole world. It's like a crazy thing over here. So he says, Sorer Mayim Ba'avav, he binds together the water and the clouds, V'lo Nivka Anun Tachtam. He does not allow the heavy clouds to go underneath them over there. In other words, the rain clouds don't burst under them. Now, again, it's the same basic idea over here. He's looking at this and he's saying, I don't fully get how water vapor condenses in the air, becomes clouds, and eventually rains down on something. I just don't get it. And the truth is that as great as our meteorologists are, and they are, they're amazing. The fact that they could see hurricanes coming before they actually come is absolutely amazing. But water patterns and rain patterns are impossible to completely foretell. You can tell certain things, but you'll never know exactly what's going to be. Why? Because a Kaddish Baruch Hu at any point could just be like, and then all of a sudden it goes away. It's all completely done. There's an unbelievable story. I didn't check this up on Snopes, but I do remember when it was happening. But somebody wrote about it, and I'm not positive, whatever it is. There was a hurricane that was supposed to hit the west side of Mexico. The Baja of Mexico and like the west side, it was going to hit right around this certain area. It was going to be a Category 5 hurricane. It was going to cause unbelievable devastation in Mexico. And you can imagine,
just like in the last couple
of years,
right?
Just like last year or a year before. Yeah. Something like this. And if it would have hit, it would have caused unbelievable. You can imagine what it did to Houston, what it's going to do to Florida, etc. This was literally going to bring up, like, it was going to destroy entire cities. Towns were going to be gone. And there was nowhere for these people to go. Mexico is not like America when it comes to stuff like this. There was really nothing for them to do. So what did they do? What do you do at that point?
You run.
You run?
Yeah, just no, get
you
out
just
of
stay and hope.
Your knees and
you just stay and hope. What are they going
to do? That's what they did. They all went to church. Every single one of them, yeah. All these towns, wherever they're, they prayed their hearts out.
They declared
a fast day. They donned sackcloth.
They used and the craziest Jewish thing, ideas.
And the craziest thing, the hurricane leveled down to a category one hurricane. It didn't even hit the ground. It broke up before it hit the ground on the beaches of Mexico. A little storm happened. That's that. Now, again, it doesn't mean much when it comes to that, but the concept is right there, right? The concept is that how in the world does this work over here? I don't get it. Ma'aches pnei kise, right? He fortifies the face of the sky, parshes alav anano, and he spreads over it his cloud itself, called like a smattering cloud, whatever it is. You see all these different things. Now, I don't know exactly what this means, but perhaps the clouds that are referring to when it comes to his kise akavod and his throne. You ever see that in, you know, some of the pictures that the Hubble telescope is able to get, they see these like clouds in the sky, these like weird like space dust almost, these colors and these beautiful whatever it is, it's beautiful. Whenever you go in the airport, if you go to the parking lot, you'll see these pictures from the planetarium that they have of galaxies far, far away. It's amazing. And it looks like clouds in the sky. Maybe that's what he's referring to over here. I obviously couldn't see them. Chok chug al pnei mayim. There is a circle that was made on the face of the water, ad tachlis or until the end of light, right? That they ad choshek all the way till the darkness itself. Now, either it refers to there is a circle made for the oceans that they cannot go on to the earth itself. They're not able to go on further onto the earth itself and be able to go through there. Now, that's one way of looking at it. That's definitely a possibility of what we're referring to over here. But there's another way. You know what's even cooler about this? It's possible he's referring to chok chug al pnei mayim. There's a certain area in the water where the oceans are like level, and then all of a sudden they drop, absolutely drop. In that level right there, they have coral reefs. Those coral reefs are a bastion of life all around every island. They're places for them to fish, places for them to get coral, which is
like
jewelry or whatever it is. It's almost like a shelf, right? The ocean shelf.
Yeah.
That is the chok chug. It's a little circle that's made, right, in every single ocean to be able to help them get what they need and have what they need. So when a friend of mine went to one of these islands, I don't know, somewhere in the Indian Ocean, I forgot where, he went to one of these islands, he stayed in this hotel, and he did a, what are those? A camera.
Drone.
A drone. He took a drone and went around. It's the coolest thing in the world. Do you see the ocean? Just light, 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 and then
dark.
Boom, dark. All of a sudden, it's dark. At some point, it just drops off. Just completely drops off. It's crazy. It says, Bekocho, in his strength, Raga Hayom. I skipped a pasuk, Yud Aleph over here. Amude Shemaim Rofafu, he trembles, those pillars of the heavens themselves, the Yismu Migarasai, and everything is shocked from the muster that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives. We know HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes has to be able to rebuke and allow even the heavens to stop growing. Obviously, it is a curse to keep growing and growing and growing. If a person has a pituitary gland that's not in check, you'll be 25 feet tall, but that's not good for a person. There is a check valve that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and once it gets to a certain point, it stops. Absolutely stops. Ubisvunaso mochatz rohav. And with that, I guess so it says, Bekocho rogayam, he allows through his strength to tremble the sea. Uzvunaso mochatz rohav, he smashes the pride of the sea as well. He allows tsunamis to come, and then when the tsunami hits, a huge tidal wave hits the sand, stops. The idea behind it. How about a tsunami? Tsunami is not a great example because a tsunami does keep going.
Yeah.
Because it just raises the level. But it's different. Any huge wave will
not
do.
Wave?
But a tsunami is just. But a wave stop, right?
That's
a tsunami, the difference is that the tsunami just keeps raising the level of the water. But you don't see it. I always thought, like, when you watch a video of a tsunami, you'd see this, like, huge tidal wave coming and destroying everything. That doesn't happen ever. It's impossible for that to happen from, I guess. They have something in the Museum of Science and Industry where it shows you that if you have water and you try pushing it, right, where the water becomes this huge wave, if it goes up like that against something like that and then there's sand right over there, it goes up, the wave is up like that, and then as soon as it hits here, it goes down and down and down and like that. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible the way you have to go there. These are checks and balances. Baruch
Hashem. When you look at a beach when you're walking and you even see a small wave, it always goes like
yeah, that. You don't see it. Yeah. You see it go through. There's levels, and that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows the universe to work, right? In that way, he puts these Baruch HaShemayim Shifra, he beautifies the skies with his spirit. Chol Elo Yado Nachash Bariach. His hand kills the Nachash Bariach, the serpent, which is like a bar. We'll talk about that in a second. Hein Elak Tzos Darko Durachov, right? These are all the edges of his ways. This is just what I can see with my own eyes. Umash Shemetz Davar Nishmabo, with the little things that could be heard about what God does. V'ram Gvuros of Misponan, the actual thunder of his power. Oh, who could possibly understand that? Who would be able to do that over there? So here we go. What is Livyasan, the Nachash Bariach over here? So we call this the Livyasan itself, says the Gemara. There's two types. Livyasan, Nachash Bariach, the straightened serpent. And Livyasan, Nachash HaKalosan, the coiled serpent over here. So he says like this. He says, since the events of what happened with Adam and Chava, the Nachash stands for absolute evil. There are two ways that evil works. Nachash Bariach, straight evil, a metaphor for the simple, brutal evil that happens to a person, power of destruction, nachash ha-kolosein, a coiled serpent, an evil power which tries to get it by convoluted, devious means. That's the way that it goes through over here. They're both called livyasan, powers of the sea, powers of the absolute sultan over here. We say that the metaphor, there's the skin of the livyasan that we're going to eat in the future. What that refers to is that the world powers, that in spite of their evil, like industry, art, music, science, discovery, etc., right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to bring out through them, even though there was evil in bringing them about, even though there's evil within them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring us stuff that we can contribute and we can have in this world that's going to be good. He's going to take the Livyasan Nachash Bariach and the Livyasan Nachash Akalasain and kill them. Kill the evil behind it and allow us to take what we need. Don't think that by the times of the third base of Mikdash, there won't be any industry. There won't be any machinery. You better believe we are heating. We're going to have heating coils underneath the floor of the base of Mikdash. You better believe there's going to be a computer system where if you want to donate a korban and bring a korban, it's going to be through a computer system where you can hire a kohen and everybody will be involved with like one big iPad, an iPad with the internet involved. For sure, it's going to be involved.
Better believe it. I don't know about that.
No, why not?
The miracles that happened there would just re-happen here.
What miracles? Hold on. If you needed to bring a korban, yeah. How do you think it happened? You found a coin, you asked the coin to go ahead and bring it for you.
Yeah.
That's what you had to do. Yeah. What if there was no coin that was available? What if no coin wanted to bring it for you?
Tons of them.
You build, what if there wasn't? What
was an ola? It was an ola, and nobody wanted to do it, whatever it was.
No,
no such thing. Couldn't
do that. Of course it was.
Really?
You think all the quantum were perfect people?
No.
Quantum were like, no, nah, I'm going to wait for a shlomim.
No.
I kind of don't want it. I'll wait for a chatzis or an ashram. You got an ola? I'm not in the mood.
I just feel like Kohanim were very serious. Also, there was Mishmar. Like,
some of them were. What are the others? You could have a guy there. For sure we're going to use that iPad. For sure we're going to use it to be able to get everybody together to make sure it's there. What do you think it's
eagles?
There for? It's not for evil. Oh, right. For sure it's going to be fewer eagles. This is not going to be an airplane. Fewer eagles are going to be out there. But we're going to use airplanes. What we're going to use them for, who knows? But for sure we're going to use it. Why not use all the stuff that we have in the world? That's the idea behind it. That's the idea that we can possibly use in the world. We'll use the good of the Livyasa. Now, that means that, but your phone is going to have an automatic, like a check on it. As I know, by the way, that we'll end with this.